Ace Podcast.
Weird.
I hate bringing that music down.
Why?
Because it's so good.
Sit in the corner and listen to it all day.
How do you know I don't?
I figure you do.
Some days I do. I really do. And it makes me happy. My name's Aaron.
My name's Craig.
And we're weird.
And you know what else?
What else?
We're just carrying on a conversation like nobody's here.
I'm sorry. I apologize to the listener that we're conversing.
It's probably that they've come to expect you to be rude and, you know,
you know what?
Boring.
You know what episode it is, right?
It's
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Amazing.
It's like the Sesame Street episode.
Yeah, well, you know what was 1, 2, 3 earlier, don't you?
Uh-uh.
Episode 1, 2, and 3.
That's true.
This is the first time that's happened.
It really is, yes.
Wow.
It'll never happen again. We'll never have another 1, 2, 3.
No.
So we better make it good.
Where's this going?
Well,
can you tell I'm kind of tired?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. Just a little tired.
We have less than a week till Thanksgiving, but more importantly, 1 week till Black Friday.
Oh, is that a special episode?
Maybe.
Oh, no, that's racist. Oh, you meant... I thought you meant...
You remember last year we did a Black Friday episode.
That's racist.
And maybe we'll do it again.
Why can't it be White Friday?
Well...
Why can't it be Blue Friday?
It's every other Friday is Red Friday.
It is Red Friday.
Yeah, but next...
This is allegedly the only... What are you looking at?
My microphone.
Well, there's only
I'm trying
one,
to get it where it blocks you.
It's the one day that, you know, we should put a curtain between us.
That would be so good.
That would be awesome. We had nowhere to go but up. So anyway, back to Black Friday.
Yeah.
The racist day that it is. It's the only day where stores are in the black. They're not in the red.
No, you're right.
Allegedly.
Well, the way I heard it was, that's the day that their
profits are.
Annual sales reach black.
Right.
Yeah. So from there on out, they're
again racist.
Yeah.
Enough with that.
I don't know. I mean, what is White Friday? What would that be? Like snow?
Well, they have white sales. You remember those?
Yeah.
And that's actually linen, I think.
That's weird too, because I saw all kind of races in there buying stuff on white.
I know.
Sale day.
It's weird. It's weird that you know now. I bet now if you were like JCPenney's or somewhere like that, and you tried to have a white sale, I bet you'd never hear the end of it.
No.
It's like people calm down.
I forgot about that.
People calm down. It's just linens.
It's just, you know what it
it's
is?
Just cloth. It's sheets.
It's cotton.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's all it is.
That's what. Cotton's offensive now.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Because you know why? It's soft.
Yeah, it is.
It's soft. And I like lay on cotton, like on sheets, and, you know, wear a cotton t-shirt, and just cotton this, cotton
I do
that.
Like cotton t-shirts and underwear.
I do too. Yeah. Well, I don't need to know that. No one needs to know that.
Hey, what's coming up on this episode?
Stuff.
You got any ideas? You got any headlines or any teasers?
Yeah, because
what can the listener expect from this episode 123?
A story about Donald Crump.
Donald Crump.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
And we've got shrimp in pants.
Yep, and big.
That's a teaser for you.
And big red bait.
Big red bait. There's a cop fight.
And
yeah,
well, cop fight, not one of those rooster fights.
No, cop fight.
Cop fight with a P.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got a prank that went wrong.
And more. So we got those stories and so much more.
So we've just said to you, listener, we've got all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And then we're even telling you there's more.
Yes.
There's value to this.
There really is. I mean, there's tips and tricks coming up, so stay tuned. Hacks.
Get ready.
We got hacks.
Yeah, we got all kinds of stuff.
I'm going to take top story.
Top story.
Tonight's top story. Cops pull over driver who made license plate with a pizza box and a magic marker.
Hey, who told you could have the top story?
Now, why are they going to pull over a driver? That's creativity in action right there.
I mean, I want to know why you got top story.
Because it was my turn.
It's been my turn since, like, 1935.
I just took it. I just saw the opportunity
and
jumped in there and took it.
All right.
Kind of like Auburn did with the number one team in the nation last week.
Whatever.
What did I say? I can't do that. I can't talk about football.
No, I don't talk football.
Cops pull over driver.
Go ahead, Meredith.
Cops, what? I don't get that.
Oh, it took place in Meredith.
Meredith, yes. A driver in Massachusetts thought it would be a good idea to attach a homemade license plate to the back of his Buick. But it didn't fool the police.
It wasn't not a bad idea.
I'd like to have seen a photograph of this, because what if he was like an art student and it looked like a license plate?
What if it was his actual number?
I think it was.
Well, then why are they upset?
I don't know. Because he didn't, I don't know. The crafty driver.
See what they did there?
The crafty driver apparently made the plate using two simple tools, a pizza box and a magic marker.
It was a craft.
The
get
Hopkinton
it? Crafty. Get it? Craft.
Police
crafty.
Department posted a photo of the fake plate on Facebook with a word of advice to the other drivers. They said, here's a little advice for you aspiring to make your own license plates. Don't.
Okay.
Don't do it. The department wrote, but if you do, make sure you use cardboard from a pizza box and magic markers.
So wait, they are saying you can do that. No, oh, this is not
to. Don't do it, but if you're going to.
What if you use cardboard from something else?
Nope, it's got to be pizza box. The driver, who was not identified, he like, must have been like wearing a mask or something.
Yeah, they couldn't tell who he was. You think they could tell from his license plate.
Yeah, is facing charges that include operating an uninsured and unregistered vehicle and attaching homemade plates, according to the
department. Is that an actual law about the homemade plates?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, it's got to be.
You want organ? I think we lose a listener every time you play that. It goes on for like 16 minutes.
It's a good song, man.
Next story.
That's what I'm working on now.
That's not bad.
Next story.
At least that puts something between each story. You got to have a spacer. Got to have a spacer because you don't want people to be confused.
You're a spacer. Hey.
Yeah.
Next story.
Go ahead.
Restaurant owner Donald Crump accused of choking woman over cold fries.
So the fries were on like on a table and he reached over the fries and choked a woman. I'm guessing.
This happened in Tennessee.
I know. It's a local story.
Darn it.
A customer of Tennessee restaurateur Donald Crump said she just wanted the owner to make her fries great again.
That's so bad.
That is bad.
That's so bad.
But
I don't even
Crump
laugh.
Ended up arrested, accused of choking the woman after she complained about the cold French fries. Though Crump insisted he merely removed the woman for disrespecting his business.
Don't you diss my business.
Yeah, pity the fool.
Don't diss my biz.
Pity the fool disrespected your business.
She dissed the biz.
Crump, founder of Crumpy's Hot Wings in Memphis.
Oh, it's okay. Not so local.
No, well, it's also not that unexpected. It's Memphis. Allegedly got into a tiff with Renesha Moore last Friday when she approached the counter complaining her fries weren't smoking. They're not. They don't have a habit.
It's a non-smoking restaurant.
It's a non-smoking. Yeah. The fries are not allowed to. Moore told WREG she placed the order over the phone and went to pick them up 45 minutes later. Well, yeah, 45 minutes later, those fries probably aren't that cold.
Yeah.
I mean, hot.
Maybe they're room temperature, but
it's opposite day for me. I saw that my food was kind of... I saw that my food was kind of... It's usually smoking, but it wasn't smoking this time. It was kind of dry, so I said, can I get some fresh fries? Moore told the station. Now, you might think that voice was maybe stereotypical.
No, sir.
But it was Memphis.
I've been through Memphis lately.
Yeah.
You know what? We need to take a road trip to Memphis and watch some of this Memphis hockey. They've got a AAA team, supposed to be really good.
No, we could go to Memphis and go to IKEA.
Nah.
Okay.
Hey, let's go see Graceland.
My whole life from Tennessee, never saw Graceland.
I've been there. I pulled up and stood beside the gate.
You know how I go through Memphis?
Nah.
As fast as I can. She said when she confronted the 61-year-old restaurant owner about the supposedly cold food, Crump was nonchalant and blamed her for being late to pick up her order.
Well, there you go.
He then allegedly refused to refund her money.
She should have been there on time.
I was probably a little bit late. They told me 25 to 35 minutes over the phone, and I usually... Why do I sound like a donkey from Shrek? I usually...
You know what's got layers? Parfait.
Who doesn't like a parfait? I was probably a little bit late, but they told me... Can I finish, please? I was probably a little bit late, but they told me 25 to 35 minutes over the phone, and they don't have the food ready when I get there, so I gave them just a little extra time, the customer said. Moore recalled shoving the food on the counter, and the fries then dropped to the floor.
Well, now he's got to replace them.
Well, apparently not. Three witnesses told police they saw Moore throw the allegedly cold food on the floor before the argument escalated.
So he was having a bad day.
He pushed me into the fishbowl, and he did it with his two hands. He literally started choking and strangling me. I, like, barely could breathe. Moore told WREG. He said, don't disrespect my store, and he was choking me.
I bet she doesn't anymore.
She said, if I can't get... Oh, excuse me. She said, if I can't get any fresh food...
No, this time it sounded like, if I can't get any fresh food...
Oh, that is also true. Yeah. She said, if I can't get any fresh food and you're not going to give me my money back... What else could possibly be done? And you're the manager. Moore said she went to the hospital on Sunday because she suffered painful injuries from the incident. The witnesses said they saw Crump choking the woman. Crump told WMC Action News.
Action News.
Action. He grabbed her to remove her for disrespecting his business.
Don't diss my biz.
He said there was video evidence to back up the claim. He couldn't find the tape, but he had the very, though he didn't immediately provide it because he said he had to consult his lawyer.
Yes, gotta ask the attorney on that one.
We got videotape to prove it. I just don't want to show it to you.
You just have to trust me. I've seen it.
Do I look like you can't trust me? Can I get you some fries?
They're smoking.
Can I get you a parfait? Who doesn't like a parfait?
I'm making waffles.
Okay. We'll just keep moving here.
Headline is, man charged after allegedly attempting to steal bags of shrimp by hiding them in his pants.
Okay.
And this comes to us from Pennsylvania. A man is facing charges after allegedly attempting to conceal multiple bags of shrimp from a store in his pants.
That's clever and creative.
Is it really? Not
no,
really.
Not really.
No. No. He probably had those MC Hammer pants. You could probably put a whole bunch of seafood in those
That's
things.
That's true.
Anibal.
Or those stupid big jeans the kids were wearing in the 90s.
Anibal Batista Jr., age 49.
Yeah, be sure you add the junior part. That's important.
Age 49 is facing felony retail theft charges for the incident. On November 9th of this year, police were summoned to the Weiss Markets store on Union Deposit Road for a suspect in custody for retail theft. Upon arrival, police learned that Batista Jr. concealed multiple bags of shrimp down his pants and attempted to leave the store without paying.
He should know better. He is 49 years old. He is only 10 years younger than you. He should know better.
He's about my age, and he should know better. That's definitely...
You stepped on me there,
That's
dude.
Definitely... he's old enough to know better.
Now you done?
Yeah, go ahead.
You got that out?
I'm making waffles.
Next story.
I really got to work on that.
That's not bad.
Next story.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Texas cop lures injured woman to hospital with Big Red soda.
Oh, I love me some Big Red soda.
I had Big Red in a long time. Remember Big Red gum?
Yes, I do.
That was good, yeah. Too.
You know, Big Red soda kind of tastes like bubble gum. It's got a little bubble gum flavor.
Maybe it was supposed to be the same as Big Red gum.
Yeah, maybe.
I really don't know.
Yeah, but Big Red soda, it, two thumbs up for me. I really enjoy the stuff.
Well, I'm glad. None of us ask, but thanks. Thanks for
I
telling
like it,
us that.
I like it a lot.
And East Texas police officer used a can of Big Red to lure an elderly woman with health issues to the hospital. Did he leave like a trail of them?
He did. You know what? They don't have Big Red, I bet, down under. We need to send them some Big Reds. They'll know what we're talking about.
Okay. Who over here does not have their device silenced? Something just went ding. Who was that?
It's you.
It was not me.
It was your new fancy watch.
No, it was not. The Tyler Police Department called paramedics Tuesday night to check on a woman who was
We're nothing if not professional. You ever notice that?
I'm trying to figure out how Big Red we got over to Australia.
I'm just thinking. They don't know what I'm talking
They've
about.
They've got Big Red kangaroos.
Well, that's
they call them
not,
Big Reds.
You can't drink a Big Red kangaroo.
And
if you do, they don't taste like bubble gum.
No, that's probably... How do you know?
Well, I mean... I'm just
maybe
guessing.
Adam or Lee could maybe speak to this somehow.
Or DK. Or
can we get back to the cops that lured the injured
D?
Woman? The Tyler Police Department called paramedics Tuesday night to check on a woman who was found on the floor. She said she'd been crawling around on the floor because she didn't have the strength to stand up. That sounds like me every day.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
The paramedics advised her that she should go to the hospital, but she refused.
That sounds just like you tonight.
She did not. That's me every day. She did not indicate any life-threatening injuries at the time, but I knew something wasn't right, a paramedic explained on the police department's Facebook page. Why is he on the Facebook page? Shouldn't he be out saving people?
He should be.
The paramedic. The paramedics said, and the officers tried to convince her to go get checked out, but the woman was hesitant. She told them, "All I want is a Big Red and I'll be fine." It's like her RC.
No, it's like her medicine, man. She's addicted she's to the Big Red.
She's got a medicine, man?
We should... You know what? We need to send some of this down under. I'm concerned that they've never tasted the delicious flavor of Big Red. You know what?
They
got soda.
Like it.
They have lots of soda over there. But if I saw them, I'd say, that's not a soda.
There's a really good video of Australians...
That's a soda.
...trying different American candies.
Yeah.
And they're kind of put back... They like a few of them, but they're mostly like...
Give me one they
all?
Didn't like.
I don't remember. It's been a long time.
Was it good candy or was it like
it was
those
all good.
Peanut butter kisses you
no,
get it?
No, it was all good stuff. I'm just trying to be conversational here.
I'm curious.
Can I get back to the deal that was struck
Please.
With the old lady?
Please.
Sergeant.
I had a lollipop from down under one time. Had a scorpion in it.
All right, that's great. You buy
it really
those,
did.
You can buy those here.
Yeah, but it was from down under.
Okay, nobody cares. Zach Noble, he's a sergeant, told the woman he would personally go to the store and buy her a can of the Texas favorite if she agreed to go to the hospital. It was enough to finally convince her to get checked out. The paramedic thought Noble was just bluffing, but the sergeant kept his word.
He gave her a whole can of Big Red.
Yeah, like that's a big deal.
50 cents.
I can hardly believe it when Sergeant Noble arrived minutes later at the hospital with an ice-cold Big Red for her, the paramedic said.
Well, we spoke of a cop fight earlier.
Yeah, cops fighting.
Yes.
Not roosters. Not a cockfight.
No.
Unless
rooster. It's like the rooster sheriff. And then that would, you know, if he could fight another rooster sheriff.
What do we... What?
Headline is...
You lost everyone on that one.
Detroit police officers...
Where?
Detroit.
Rock City?
Yes. Police officers fight each other in undercover operation gone wrong.
Was RoboCop involved?
I think he was.
Because he's from Detroit.
The case of the good guys going after the good guys. That's what this is. There is now a Detroit Police Department internal investigation into two different precincts getting into their own turf war as they converge on an east side neighborhood. Neighbors who live in this neighborhood will be the first to tell you that this area is known for constant drug activity.
You couldn't say Andover, huh?
I could. I just didn't want to say all that.
Maybe you
want
to warn our listener not to go into Andover. Andover. I said Andover. English is really hard right now for me.
It is definitely drug problems for sure. For years it's been like that. It's been a drug problem one way after another, said one resident.
Who is that person?
I don't think anyone could stop it. But on Thursday, Detroit police certainly tried, but they didn't try too hard, Craig. Sources say it started when two special ops officers from the 12th precinct were operating a push-off on Andover near 7 Mile.
No, not 7 Mile.
No, 7 Mile. Wasn't there a movie about 7 Mile?
Yes. Yes, I believe there was.
Eminem?
I don't know.
I think.
Britney Spears.
Peanut Eminem, maybe?
No.
That is when two undercover officers pretend to be dope dealers.
Do they walk around with the covers over them like that?
Waiting for eager customers to approach, arresting potential buyers and seizing their vehicles.
From under the blanket.
Vehicles from Detroit. But this time, instead of customers, special ops officers from the 11th precinct showed up. Not realizing that they were fellow officers, they ordered the other undercover officers to the ground. Fox 2 is told
Keystone cops.
The rest of the special, you know, these they should communicate. There's a communication problem.
If they just had a way for these devices that would radio each other back and forth.
Absolutely. Yeah. We should send them something. Mm-hmm. I'm very giving tonight. Have you noticed that?
No.
Fox 2 is told that the rest of the special ops teams from the 12th precinct showed up. And they went, be cool, man. Be cool.
They broke into a song and dance routine.
Officers began raiding the drug house in Andover. But instead of fighting crime, officers from both precincts began fighting with each other. Sources say guns were drawn and punches were thrown.
Wait.
Yeah.
Why were they drawing pictures of guns?
Police sketch.
You were struggling there, weren't you?
Sources say guns were drawn, punches were thrown, while they were throwing punch, too. That could get messy.
So, and it gets all over the drawing of the gun.
The homeowner stood and watched. Sure, wouldn't you? I'd be sitting on my porch with a big
popcorn.
Red.
Yeah, big red and some popcorn.
The department's top cops were notified along with internal affairs. One officer was taken to the hospital. Each officer involved is now under investigation as the department tries to determine what went wrong. I tell you, I told you what went wrong. No communications.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Next story.
Ooh. Yeah. That's this guy's doing it wrong. That's all I'm going to say about this headline.
Man uses match to check for natural gas leak.
That's not how you check for a gas leak of any kind.
It's not how you check for a gas leak. It will also work.
Don't look at me like that. I guess he did find the gas leak.
A man had first-degree burns to his face and singed his eyebrows and hair during a fire in the 2400 block of Military Street on Port Huron. Saturday. Port H Battalion Chief Mark Ford said the homeowner apparently smelled the odorant.
Oh,
added to natural gas and went to look for the for a source.
It smells like rotten eggs.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
None of us knew that.
It's an odorant.
Ford said the homeowner recently had installed a natural gas water heater.
That's what went wrong. He should have had somebody named Chevy install it. It would have worked better. His name's Ford.
Just uncomfortable silence. That's all I'm going for right now. He went down there and he used a match lit to find the leak.
Was
Ford
he lit
said.
Or the match?
Yeah, I don't know. The gas ignited, Ford said. The burst of flames catching the man's face and the electrical service breaker box. Oh. That's what that says. Listen how oddly that's written. The gas ignited, Ford said. The burst of flames catching the man's face and the electrical service breaker box. It caught the box.
It did catch the box.
The box started sizzling.
Throw a burger on it.
Ford said, so the man cut the power to the house. He said the homeowner had first-degree burns to his face. Ooh. I call him Lucky. And forearms and was taken to a local hospital.
How many arms?
He had four arms.
Man, that's some fire if it split his arms.
And he was taken to a local hospital for treatment. The fire happened around 11:30 a.m., took almost an hour and a half to extinguish. There was damage to the house of moderate to heavy in the small area, Ford said. We had to do quite a bit of work to get into the wall. The fire had gotten into the wall.
You don't want fire.
Why don't you repeat that twice, dude? It's in the wall. So we had to get into the wall because there was a wall there, and inside the wall there was some fire.
While we were working, we listened to Pink Floyd's "The Wall."
The wall. He said, "If people,"
and we called Donald Trump and asked about the wall.
He said, "If people smell natural gas, the best thing to do is call 911, especially if it's inside a structure."
If I had to call 911 every time I smelled natural gas, I couldn't hang out with you anymore. They would cut me off. You're not laughing with me at all tonight.
No, I'm just giving you a natural, uncomfortable silence.
My headline is, Oklahoma teen injured while attempting to prank a friend.
I could say, his headline is.
Now, this story is not so weird as I just wanted to discuss it with you, Craig, because I don't understand the prank. And I'm hoping that maybe through your extreme knowledge of punking and pranking, maybe you can help me out. So here's the deal.
All right, go for it.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. We got friends there. An Oklahoma teenager was rushed to the hospital after he attempted to pull a prank on a friend. Officials tell Fox 23 that it all started when an 18-year-old hid under his friend's car at Brahms in Tulsa.
I've been to a Brahms before.
The friend, who is an employee of the fast food restaurant, got into his vehicle not knowing the teenager was underneath the car. When he tried to pull out of the parking spot, he ran over the teen.
As you would.
Investigators say the 18-year-old was taken to a nearby hospital with head and leg injuries.
Okay, let me break this down for you.
Please.
You know about this prank.
No.
Here's what you do. When your friend's not looking.
Right.
You want to go and you want to hide under his car. Now, you're going to be sort of motivated to maybe...
Is this called like the speed bump prank?
Yeah, I'm giving it. Would you
go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what you want to do is you're gonna have this sort of intuition to get out from under the car. But what you've got to do to make this prank work,
right?
Stay there. The prank doesn't work unless he rolls over you.
Okay.
At which point,
and that's funny.
He gets out thinking, "Oh my gosh, I've rolled over my friend and killed him."
Oh, maybe I see.
At which point, he probably did kill his friend.
But it's a prank.
But it's a great prank.
Okay.
This is mine, right?
Yes, it is.
This one's mine. Las Vegas apartments cracking down on poopa traders.
What's a poopa trader? I want one.
It's a perpetrator. It's a poopa trader. Several apartment complexes in Las Vegas and Henderson are cracking down on poopa traders. You know, the people who don't pick up after their dog goes to the bathroom.
Oh.
The Elysian properties in town are five of the complexes getting stricter in order to keep their properties neat and clean.
I see what it is.
They're using a service called Poo Prints.
Oh, gross.
Which matches the pet waste to the pet owner if it's left on the apartment property.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
That's a terribly expensive way.
Let's just figure this out. Hold on. Lauren Stevens is a dog owner at Elysian at Stone Lake, and she loves the service. We started getting really sick of there being like 10 piles of fresh poop right outside of our door at our old apartment complex.
I can't imagine that getting old at all.
When you move into the complex with a dog, you will be asked to swab the dog's cheek with one of Poo Print's DNA kits. If your pet's waste is found by management and matches the DNA... How long does it take them to get this DNA back?
I swear I'd be moved out by the time.
It takes weeks, doesn't it? If your pet's waste is found by management and it matches the DNA in Poo Print's lab, you will be fined $250 for the first offense, $300 for the second, and $500 for the third. I do think if you have a pet, it's important to be responsible pet owner.
I agree.
Said Elysian business manager Nikki Gaynor.
Nikki.
You owe it to the place that you live and your neighbors. Stevens completely agrees.
Me too.
it's nice having it where you actually held responsible, because I've watched them pick it up here, and I know people who've gotten fined for it, and it's kind of like, pick up your poop.
Gross.
You won't get fined. We've never gotten fined. Guineer says the pet waste they send to the lab machine matches DNA a little more than half of the time.
Mm.
Wonder how much their rent is since they're having to spend all that extra money on DNA.
That's crazy. Hey, does Glenna have any Louis Vuitton bags?
No, she's not a
Lori doesn't either.
She's not into that kind of stuff.
We're not fancy bag people.
We're what you might call Taco Bell people.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not.
Yes. So speaking of that, maybe later.
Maybe for you.
Headline is $20,000 worth of Louis Vuitton bags were used to make a toilet.
And probably the best use for them.
Nearly $20,000 of Louis Vuitton bags were cut, torn, reshaped, and rearranged by artist Ilma Gore to create the world's most luxurious toilet. I don't think so. I think the golden toilet
would be the most luxurious.
Yes.
Probably the coldest, too.
The fully functioning throne has been painted gold, suiting its luxurious origins, with every square inch either covered in Louis leather or gold paint. Describing the toilet as unique is an understatement.
Everything, I would describe it as stupid, but that's just me.
Everything from the bowl to the tank is fully lined in monogrammed leather. No sign of the bag's hardware, but at least the toilet is ready to be used right out of the box.
I'm sure that's not hard to clean.
So go ahead and find one, would you? Purchase one. I'd like to see it here at the alternate studio.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm starting to really miss Lee Berry, by the way.
Well.
And I think they miss us, too.
Well, you know, it's good.
Okay.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
That's not it. Absence.
Oh, yeah. No. In our case, it's distance.
Absence.
Abscess?
Not abscess. Currently, the Golden Commode is available on Tradesy for an eye-watering $100,000.
So they spent $20,000. They're going to make an $80,000.
Well, no, they just used $20 worth of Louis Vuitton bags. They had to buy the gold paint.
They used $20,000 worth.
And yes.
They're going to sell it for $100,000. That's $80,000.
Well, they had to buy the toilet. They had to buy the gold paint. They had to cut. Very labor-intensive, and it's a piece of art.
I thought the thing was made completely out of the bags. There's no toilet involved.
No, there's a toilet involved. It's just wrapped in Louis Vuitton.
That's stupid.
I didn't make it. Don't look at me. Nearly five times more expensive than the bags themselves. If that's too rich for you, Gore has provided a $10,000 Gucci-decorated missile and an Abraham Lincoln bust, also featuring the Louis Vuitton leather. So if you'd rather scratch that Louis Vuitton itch by donating to a good cause, the label has donated a Supreme Collaboration Pudsey Bear to a charity auction.
What's a Pudsey Bear?
I don't know. What is a Pudsey Bear?
Why are you asking me a question? I just asked you the question. Why are you asking me? Cut this short.
Okay.
That's all you get.
Stop. You had to hear that. That's John Belushi, man. Okay, you can go ahead. I mean, it's low.
You're going to have to, from now on, you're going to cut that down to like 3 seconds.
Go ahead. Go ahead, start.
No, stop. This one's mine. Oh, this story is mine. Is that good? You like that?
I don't care. Oh,
this story is mine. This just in. Woman climbed through drive-through window, assaulted McDonald's worker over chicken McNuggets. This happens time and time again.
What is wrong with these people, Craig?
They're not even real chicken nuggets. They're like these
aren't they
manufactured.
Real now? I thought they were like real white meat chicken
because
nuggets.
Because McDonald's
yes.
said so.
Yes.
Because they said so.
I trust the clown. I think Mayor McCheese even did a proclamation.
Hey, did you see where somebody invented an app that's supposed to tell you when the ice cream machine's not broken? I guess it's crowdsourced. I don't know how they know that. I guess that's people go in and tell people that they add it to the app.
Oh, boy.
Because it's such a problem because they're always broken.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never noticed that.
I rarely ever go to McDonald's.
You know where I get my ice cream? Just, you know. And it's never broken. I've never had them say, sorry, ice
Baskin
cream
Robbins?
Machine's down. No.
Wait, don't tell me.
You can't break their ice cream machine because it's just a scoop.
Oh, that's true. Dairy Queen?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
The old DQ?
No, she didn't bring me any.
I didn't get any today.
Exactly. That's the problem.
Yet.
Don't you know?
Yeah. It's early.
That's not ice cream. Hey.
Yes.
You ready?
I've been ready.
Woman climbed through drive-thru window, assaulted McDonald's worker over chicken nuggets. Indianapolis.
Of course.
Police are looking for... No, you say of course if it's Florida.
Of course it's Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
They got that 500 and everything going on.
Yeah, they do.
There.
Police are looking for two women. Well, that can't be that hard to find two women in Indianapolis, right?
They're probably all over the place.
They were looking for the two who climbed through a drive-thru window and assaulted a McDonald's manager over some chicken McNuggets. The manager of the McDonald's at 16th and Meridian Streets near downtown Indianapolis told police two women drove up to the window and they told him they hadn't received their McNuggets.
Ah, see, now they should have gone to Chick-fil-A for their nuggets. Then they would have gotten them for sure.
Much better. The manager told the women they never ordered or paid for the chicken, even producing a reprint receipt as proof.
So they go through and they say, I want a number one, number two, and ice cream.
Then they come up and they say, we didn't get our nuggets.
And then they circle back around. They say, I didn't get my nuggets.
Yeah, they're just trying it. They're thinking.
Yeah.
Probably 8 out of 10 times it's going to work.
Sure.
Is what they're thinking.
We should do an experiment.
No, we shouldn't. That's stealing. When the women said they wanted to buy Chicken McNuggets, the manager told them they would have to drive through the drive-through lane to order.
On my way home, I'm going by DQ, and I'm going to say, I didn't get my Blizzard. I did not get my Blizzard.
And that's true, because you didn't order one.
I'm just going to see what happens.
Anyway, he told them they're going to have to go back through the line again, is what he told them, and then told them to have a nice day. In other words, I don't have time to deal with
and
you.
And a smile. He said, I think he said, have a smile.
He said, I ain't playing. He said, I ain't playing.
He said, look, Grimace is in the back room. He will come out here.
Yeah.
And squash you like a bug.
All the kids are like, what's Grimace? As the manager turned his attention back to other customers, the woman began pounding on the drive-thru window and honking the horn of her car. They then climbed through the window.
I'd like to see video of this.
Knocking over a container of tea and a tablet register and began assaulting the manager. Did they pepper him also? The women then climbed back out of the window. Somebody let them not only climb in, but they allowed them to climb back out.
Lock the window.
They got into the car, believed to be a silver Infiniti, and sped off.
Wow.
You know what happened next? We have no idea.
Nope.
Because you know what?
What?
This article doesn't bother to tell us.
No, it just said they hopped in their Infiniti and ding.
And lived happily ever
and
after.
And they're gone.
So here, you know, people.
Yeah.
Don't go do that.
No.
That's just not right.
No.
And McDonald's isn't worth it.
No.
No. Hey, it's your turn.
We got another meatball story. This one is not about vegan meatballs, though. Headline is, Athens man charged after meatball argument turns heated.
I thought you said meatball ergonomics.
I like my meatballs heated.
Meatball ergonomics.
I don't want a cold meatball. Larry Lewis, age 47.
If I put a cold meatball in front of you on a plate, you'd eat it.
Was arrested Sunday night for assaulting his mother during an argument about meatballs.
Did he also pepper her? Wait, I used that already, didn't I?
Yes. This is a 47-year-old man. This is 47-year-old Larry Lewis.
He's at least 15 years younger than you, but old enough to know better.
Assaulting his mother during an argument over meatballs. Something is not right.
Here's the thing. I'm sort of conflicted on this.
Why?
Well, on one hand, all these people we talk about, including Larry Lewis, 47, of North Finley Street, and the people going through the McDonald's, you know.
I should have did the food fight song. I forgot.
Here's the thing. I'm conflicted. You know why?
No.
On one hand, these people are just scummy, weirdo people that are sad and pathetic. On the other hand, they keep this podcast in business.
That's true.
So I'm conflicted.
That's true. Thank you, Larry Lewis, 47, of North Finley Street.
I'm conflicted because if it wasn't for Larry Lewis, 47, North Finley Street, and all the others out there, we'd be just standing here looking at each other.
Larry, we're going to call your local DQ when the show's over, and we're going to have a Blizzard for you. So go by. This is Friday. Just go by and tell them you're there for your Blizzard.
Tell them you're there for your Blizzard.
We got pick the flavor.
We got these cards from the library.
And we're going to go meet him.
Show them the card.
We're going to go meet him. So,
that's an inside joke no one will ever know.
Oh, boy. The mother called 911 after Lewis grabbed her by the head and squeezed it. I'm going to squish in your head.
You know, I kind of feel like we should tell that story, by the way. That's such a great story.
Elizabeth might hear, though.
So we're at the library.
Go ahead.
We go by the library because we got a library here in town.
Yes, and we helped them out.
We were helping them out with something.
Yeah.
And bless her heart, she thought she was giving us something. She'd been given these cards from Taco Bell.
And Elizabeth is so sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah.
And she's like, she was given these cards.
She's the head librarian.
Yeah. And like there's multiple.
Well, you know, there's junior
librarians. So anyway, and so she gives these cards out, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. It was a really funny story. It's given us a lot of joy.
She was embarrassed when I went back
and said. But the story gives us joy. Okay, that's what's so great about the story.
Yes, I'm so glad it happened the way it did.
So they gave her these cards that were supposed to be for something, thanking us for helping out. And so I just give Aaron mine. I'm like, it doesn't say what it's for or whatever.
It just says, you're an all-star or something, Aaron, Taco Bell.
Aaron rolls up to the Taco Bell, and he goes, hey, what does this get me? And they said, I have no idea. This is what we put. This is for like attaboys. We put this on our bulletin board for employees that do a good job. He's like, you got nothing out of it. You were so sad, too. You were thinking like,
I thought I was going to get something big.
Free taco.
Like a box or something.
Like, why'd they give you this?
The mother called 911 after Lewis grabbed her by the head and squeezed it, according to police. His actions came after he, his sister, and mother argued about who made the meatballs they had for dinner. Good night.
At least they weren't at that meatball thing.
You can't remember? The woman allegedly followed her daughter into a room, then went to grab a baseball bat. Good night almighty. What a party. You got meatballs and baseballs and...
Maybe they're batting the ball, batting the meatballs around.
Absolutely. Catch this. Lewis told police he picked up a hammer in response to his mother going for the bat. Lewis was arrested and charged with simple battery. That's like a double A.
Have you ever seen the Wild and Wonderful Whites of
West Virginia? Okay, absolutely, yes.
You know, Jesco White and all that. I have a feeling that some of these people we read are probably about...
How do you feel about that one? I like the prequel much better, the Mountain Dancer.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, that's the original, and it's fantastic.
I love the Wild and Wonderful Whites. If you ever want to feel the most normal about yourself, most comfortable about who you are, watch the, what is it, Wild?
You need to watch...
The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, is that what it's called?
Yeah, watch the Mountain Dancer.
It doesn't matter,
first.
Either way.
Yeah, no, watch Mountain Dancer
first.
It will
make you feel...
Because Mountain Dancer makes that one look like the Kardashians.
Okay, so I have to check that out.
Yes,
here's
you do.
Here's the deal. If you want to feel good about, like, you think you're having a bad day, watch these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good Lord, he's going to come kill us now, isn't he? Please tell me.
He does live near. He is in Tennessee now. He lives in Tennessee now. Jesco White lives in Tennessee.
Wow.
His new wife, you know, the old one is gone because she kept making them greasy, slimy eggs. So she's gone.
You made me laugh like an old guy. Hey, should I continue now? Is it my turn?
It is your turn. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is my story.
This is my song.
This is my song.
Argument during chess match leads to shooting.
Good grief.
Denver.
One man, violent this week. We've got a very violent episode this week.
You pick out the stories, not me. That's not true.
They're
really.
Just weird.
Stories. One man was arrested and another sent to a hospital after an argument during a chess match turned violent Tuesday night.
I just knighted.
According to probable cause statement, from the Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos?
I'm sorry, the Denver District Attorney's Office. The victim was playing chess with 43-year-old Kapatrick Bowling at Bowling's home.
It's pronounced Kapatrick.
Kapow! Kapow Bowling.
Kapatrick.
At Bowling's home on South Cherokee Street when they got into an argument that became physical.
Olivia Newton-John.
I was going to say something. I didn't say it. That's when Bowling allegedly pulled out a .22 caliber handgun and shot the victim twice. Sorry, officer. The gun went off by accident.
Yeah.
Twice. Once in the head and once in the abdomen. The victim ran away, and police found him on West Cedar Avenue.
With a rook in his pocket.
He was taken. He's playing dirty. He was taken to Denver Health, where he told a detective what happened. The probable cause statement says Bowling admitted to the shooting.
Well, that's the last time I'd play chess with that guy.
You've never played chess with that guy.
I never have, but that would be the last time if I were.
Hey, lucky you. Look what you get.
Headline is, stray cat a suspect in Japan.
Which
on
one was it?
Murder.
Was it Brian Setzer?
Yeah, the only one I know. Tokyo. Do you come from Tokyo?
Tokyo.
A Japanese police probe into an attempted murder of an elderly bedridden woman has reportedly led to an unlikely suspect.
An unlicensed suspect.
As a stray cat.
Wow.
Mayuko Matsumoto's daughter found her bleeding profusely from about 20 cuts to her face.
Poor thing.
On Monday at her home in a mountain region of southern Japan.
Japan.
Police launched an attempted murder investigation.
Why don't they just open a book and like start the documentation?
After seeing the wounds.
Why do they launch it?
Some of them relatively severe, according to a local broadcaster, RKK. We found her. Is that blood cover everything about her chin? Her face was soaking blood. I didn't know what happened. Matsumo's daughter told RKK. Matsumo, who is 82 years
Matsumoto?
Old.
Matsumoto?
That's what I said. Matsumoto, who is 82 years old and reportedly unable
to... You actually know someone with that last name.
Unable to speak.
You closed your eyes like I was going to interrupt you. You hated that.
You did interrupt me.
You winced. I wish I could... You actually winced.
I didn't
you did.
Wince.
I interrupted you and your eyes shut and you went, oh. Welcome to my world.
Anyway, Matsumoto had to receive emergency care. Investigators found no sign of people entering or leaving the house at the time of the suspected attack. Then they realized that Matsumoto's wound looked like cat scratches. They had just called Ted Nugent, who said, yep, that's a
cat
scratch.
That is definitely a cat scratch.
Police turned their attention to the stray cats loitering around Matsumoto's house and found traces of what may be human blood on one of them. The Nishinippon Shimbun newspaper said Friday.
Okay.
Police are analyzing a blood sample taken from the clawed kitty cat, which may have been scratched victim, national broadcaster NHK reported.
I don't know what you just said.
I was just reading, man.
Hey.
Yeah.
This just in. Boy can turn his head 180 degrees.
Oh, it's the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
A Pakistani boy is turning heads. Get it?
Yes.
For his quirky talent. He can twist his head 180 degrees and face backwards. While creepy, it's pretty interesting.
You know what his name is?
Samir Khan.
Nope. They call him Owl. Like my brother. Call him Owl.
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 Your brother?
Owl. Yeah, my brother's name's Owl.
Yeah. How is he doing, by the way?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should be on the show sometime.
Better than me.
Hey, Samir Khan.
Khan!
Nicknamed Owlboy and Rubbermaid. Is only 14.
Rubbermaid.
He hopes to turn his talent into a movie career because there's a lot of openings in movies.
Hey, Jim Carrey did it. He can make his face do stuff.
As he thinks he'd fit in great in horror movies, saying, my dream is to work like that actor in Hollywood horror movies. We concur. It fascinated me. I started practicing, spelled with an S, for it, and within a few months, I was able to do it. He practiced and got that way. My mother slapped me. I'm not going for the voice.
Why not? You're so good at it.
My mother slapped me because I've lost where I am. He's in Pakistan. Okay. My mother slapped me when she saw me doing this and told me never to do it again as it might end up hurting my neck. But this time she realized that I'm a God gift. I'm a God gifted. I'm God gifted.
She said, don't do that. The cold wind may come and freeze your neck.
Yeah, but oh no, you're God gifted.
Go, go.
Samir is also part of a dance group called Dangerous Boys where his flexibility gives him an edge. He's been supporting his family, dancing with his group after his father had to quit work following two heart attacks.
Yeah, his son walked in with his head on backwards.
Yeah, scared him to death. Hey.
What is it?
Once again.
What?
The top 10.
Oh, it's a good one, too.
It's the Mark Patch top 10.
It's a good one, too.
Top 10 singles, week ending March 21st. 1981.
Yeah, I just picked a random.
This is going way back.
I just went to 36
years ago.
I went to what's the magazine that
Billboard?
I went to Billboard hit because they got all the years lined up. I just hit a year and a week, and then boom, here we go.
Yeah, that's a good story. Oh, yeah, kind of funny what number one is here. Yeah. Okay.
We ain't at number one
everything
yet. Don't give it away.
I'm not, but everything you just said
yeah.
is a bold faced
no,
lie.
It's not. It was just random.
Number 10. Wait. Me, you. Okay, you go first.
That's not fair.
No, you go first.
You can't count.
Yeah, you go first.
Number 10, What Kind of Fool by Barbara Streisand and Barry Gibb. I like Barry Gibb a lot.
He's a heebie-jeebie.
I don't like Barbara Streisand, though.
Yeah, she
gets on my nerves.
She unnerves me. Hey, number 9, Eddie Rabbit. He loved a rainy night.
Oh, I love that song. That song will take you right back.
He's dead now. You happy?
Top 10 singles week ending March 21, 1981. Number 8, The Winner Takes It All by ABBA. I think that may have been one of their last top 10 hits.
Number 7.
Yeah.
Hello again.
Hello.
Neil Diamond. Hello again.
Number 6, the first rap song, or it's credited as the first rap song.
Definitely other. Commercial one, yeah.
Rapture by Blondie.
Number 5, top 10 singles, week ending March 21st, 1981. Number 5?
Yeah.
Crying, Don McLean.
Cry. I don't like his version at all, by the way.
No, really. Roy Orbison.
Yeah. Number 4.
Wasn't it Roy? It was Roy,
It
right?
was Roy, yeah. Number 4, 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Number 3.
Oh, this one's a killer song.
The Best of Times by Styx, even if it was a Dennis DeYoung.
Oh, Dennis DeYoung rocks my block.
You think he's attractive, huh?
You go ahead and take number 2.
Nope. Nope.
Number two
is you. You're the next one.
Woman by John Lennon.
And the number one lie on this list.
It's
top
not a
10
lie.
Singles, week ending March 21st, 1981. Conveniently, as Aaron has put this list together, number one, Keep On Loving You, REO Speedwagon.
That is a great song, and it was number one, week ending March 21st.
He had to go through.
1981.
It took him 51 weeks before he found the right one.
That's not true.
Totally true.
It isn't true. Wait on next week's list.
Yeah.
We might be keeping some fire burning, if you know what I'm saying.
What is wrong with you?
Episode 123 in the books.
We don't have a book.
We're going to close out.
Close the book.
Hey. Have a great weekend.
Hey.
Yeah.
Turn the page. It's a book. Get it?
Roll with the changes.
I say Bob Seger, you go back to REO.
Hey, check back with us Monday. We've got a fresh episode coming at you.
Sheboygan.